May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I am still riding that VBS high this morning. I am still exhilarated and exhausted after a week of vacation Bible school. It was a great week. I got to watch those kids go from being maybe a little apprehensive and anxious when they arrived on Monday morning to elated and shouts of enthusiasm that really communicate how comfortable they are with the place. And they were that comfortable by like Tuesday afternoon. We got to learn their take on the lessons of the Bible stories that they heard, especially during my time with them in the Bible lesson. And let me say that their takes were often more profound than whatever the lesson was supposed to be. We got to hear them sing a scream, those songs on Friday night, right? It's a little like singing and a little like screaming when they sing out. We got to hear them sing, scream those songs out on Friday night for their family and friends. Songs with lyrics like, just a little bit of love goes a long, long way. We love because God first loved us. And we will learn to trust God's power within us. Lyrics that if they remember even just a fraction of them for years to come, will write meaningful messages on their hearts that will last. So I am still riding that vacation Bible school high this morning. And Jesus is kind of killing my buzz this morning, you know what I mean? Did you hear him in that gospel reading? You're bringing fire to the earth, Jesus? Really? You came to bring not peace, but division? You're going to set these beautiful little children that we educated this week and told nothing will ever separate them from your love. You're going to set them against their parents? You're going to kindle up arguments and separations and differences between those who love each other most? Really, Jesus? Really. Jesus' message for us this morning is not the peaceful one that we might have anticipated. It might not sound much like the grace of God that our kids heard about at VBS this past week in the stories of the Good Samaritan and the road to Emmaus and 10 men healed of leprosy. But I think if we are truly honest with ourselves, if we really pause to think about it, we already know that Jesus does not always inspire peace and love and harmony. Jesus himself undergoes execution on a cross by the Romans because his message of love for God above all else and care for those most in need, enemies and strangers, as the ultimate sign of that love, that threatened both the religious leaders and the Roman government, who profited off of loyalty only to them. The early Christians and Jewish people, of course, suffered gruesome persecution under the Romans because they continued to double down on Jesus' message of love for God and their God's commandments above love for their government. Down through the ages, people of faith have seen similar fates. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of course, who wrote the words to the hymn of the day we'll sing today, he was executed in a Nazi concentration camp for subverting a government that acted in total opposition to Christian teaching. And of course, each of us may know some unnamed or anonymous Christian whose religious choices have put them at odds with their family or friends or employer. These are all such faithful people that their entire lives are seen through the lens of their faith. The present moments of their lives are all interpreted through the lens of their faith. Jesus accuses those who he talks to today of being hypocrites, not because they say one thing and do another, but they're hypocrites because they interpret the signs of seasons and of weather, but they cannot interpret the events happening all around them every day in their lives through the lens of their faith. So how about us? Are we so eager to avoid the fire and dissension and opposition that Jesus' message inevitably stirs in people that we refuse to interpret the signs around us? Do we so crave peace and harmony that we choose loyalty to our government, our leaders, our families over loyalty to God? Is it possible to be at peace with our family and God, with our government and Jesus? Sure, they just have to also be putting God first. Our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, recently took a couple of big steps in regards to this. First, at the beginning of this month, our presiding bishop signed on to a statement against Christian nationalism. This statement reads, "As Christians, our faith teaches us that everyone is created in God's image and commands us to love one another. As Americans, we value our system of government and the good that can be accomplished in our constitutional democracy. Today, we are concerned about a persistent threat to both our religious communities and our democracy, Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism seeks to merge Christian and American identities, distorting both the Christian faith and America's constitutional democracy. Christian nationalism demands Christianity be privileged by the state and implies that to be a good American, one must be Christian. It often overlaps with and provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation. We reject this damaging political ideology and invite our Christian brothers and sisters to join us in opposing this threat to our faith and to our nation." It was a big statement signed by many denominations in the United States, a statement against those who try to merge loyalty to God with loyalty to a nation. They are not the same thing, this statement says. And trying to make them the same is not faithful to either, but especially to the teachings of our faith. Second, at our churchwide assembly last week, the ELCA voted to declare itself a sanctuary denomination, the first denomination to ever do so. What does that mean? Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, writes, "Our call to love our neighbor is central to our faith. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to strive for peace and justice in all the world. One of the ways we live out this vow is through our commitment to welcoming the stranger. With this declaration, we publicly state that walking alongside refugees and immigrants is a matter of faith." What this practically means for our denomination and for congregations is outlined in talking points from Bishop Eaton, outlined in a letter that's available online and which you'll see in your next newsletter. And yes, our denomination has done this explicitly in reference to and in opposition against actions taken by our own government. Will these actions anger people? Yup. You bet they will. They already have. Maybe you're even feeling a little angry as you hear that this morning. But both of these actions are also absolutely rooted in the teachings of Jesus. And the ELCA has taken great care to explain how. The message that Jesus entrusts us with as the people of God, the message Jesus gives to us in the covenant of baptism, it's a message of God's love for all people, a message of the command that we be loyal to God above and beyond all else, a message that true love for God will be lived out in service to our neighbors, especially to those in need, outcasts, foreigners, and enemies. That message that Jesus commends to us throughout all his gospel teaching, that's not always going to be a popular one. It's a message that will always threaten earthly powers and principalities that want to put themselves first. And it's a message that we ourselves might often feel uncomfortable or ill-prepared to share and live out. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is telling us that if we aren't meeting opposition every once in a while, if we aren't finding ourselves at odds with people in this world who want to be loyal to them above God, If those in power aren't contesting our claim that God has authority and not them, well, then we might not be doing this faith thing right. True faithfulness to Jesus will meet opposition. So, did we mess up with the kids at VVS this week? Did we teach them that God's love is all about joy and strength and hope and power and peace when in reality it's much less fluffy and much more complicated than that? Well, when I think about it, no, I don't think we did. Not really. We talked an awful lot in our Bible lessons this week about how doing the right thing is not the same as doing the easy thing. We talked about Haman, the king's right-hand man in the story of Queen Esther, who hated the Jewish people for, among other things, refusing to bow down to him. And yet Mordecai and Esther refused to put loyalty to their king and his cohort above loyalty to God, and they faced death for it. We talked about how Daniel faced death in the lion's den because he would not pray to the king of Babylon, but continued to pray to God. We talked about how the fictional Good Samaritan in the parable and the real Samaritan in the story of 10 men healed were both present to teach Jesus' Jewish audience that even their enemy, the Samaritans, sometimes surprisingly got it better than them. And we concluded the week with the story of Jesus appearing to two disciples on the road to Emmaus after his death and resurrection. Jesus and those disciples loyal to him had endured the pain of his crucifixion, the humiliation of the Roman Empire, pain and rejection from their own families and religious authorities, and persecution from their government. Jesus' resurrection and his appearance to those two disciples on the road shows them that those earthly powers do not have the last word, that God has the last word. This is the message that Jesus brings us this morning. That putting his love first, that loyalty to God first, that it will not always be easy. And it might cause us pain and rejection. It might not even feel good. In fact, the powers of this world will go to great lengths to make sure that it doesn't feel good. But even so, just as our kids learned, there is still nothing that will separate us from God's love. God's love and God's power are still present with us. We can still have trust in God's power in us. The times when we actually need to remember those nice vacation Bible school messages most are the times when following Jesus also means finding division. Jesus may not have come to bring peace to this earth as we would want it, peace to our lives as we would want it, peace to our hearts as we would want it. But he has come to bring something much, much better. Thanks be to God. Amen.